So it's Epiphany Sunday. And Epiphany is a word that means manifestation or revealing. And it's used six times. It's a Greek word, and it's used six times in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, it refers to the revealing of God's good news in Jesus, either when he first came to earth, i.e. Christmas, the Epiphany, what we're celebrating, and we're celebrating particularly today the Epiphany, the revealing of Christ as God's good news to the Gentiles. Keep that man warm. You're cozy. The Epiphany, the revelation of Christ, was God's good news to the Gentiles, those who couldn't claim a bloodline tracing back to Abraham, so they weren't part of the people of God. But Jesus came, and the star shone, and the revelation was to Magi, pagans, who found in their own scriptures something that identified that when this star rises, a new king of the Jews has been born. And so they journey and travel to Herod and go, "Hey, where's the new king?" And Herod freaks out. "I haven't had a baby. What are you talking about?" Christ, the good news of God in Jesus, is revealed to the Gentiles. And the good news for us is not just that we celebrate Epiphany because the good news has come to the Gentiles. It also means that Christmas lasts until February the 2nd. Woohoo! Because Christmas is a 12-day celebration in the church history. You can read and find out that Christmas lasts for 12 days, or 12 days of Christmas, or true, listen to me, all that stuff. Well, that was Twelfth Night, that is the night before Epiphany, which was Friday, which is why you take down all your Christmas decorations on Epiphany. But if you really want to, you can keep them up until February the 2nd, because Epiphany is the celebration of Christmas, the revelation of Christ, not just him coming first, but him coming to the Gentiles. The other times when the word Epiphany is used in the New Testament is when it's talking about Jesus' second coming. When God will reveal his plans and his purposes by wrapping up history, by sending his son to sort everything out and make everything right. Epiphany is a revealing. And because of that, we're going to talk and press into this concept of light, the star that shone in the darkness. I wonder if you've ever played the game Sardines. Kids, you can listen to this bit. Ever played Sardines? It's like hide and seek, but in the dark, yeah? So you all gather together and you choose the one person who goes off and hides, and there they all go off and hide, and they've got to hide and do a certain amount of counting. And then once the counting is finished, everyone else splits off and has to find the person who's hiding and then hide with them. And there's not really a winner of Sardines, there's a loser, because it's the last person to find the group of people who's hiding. I am usually the loser. But I love playing Sardines. Usually someone gets injured, which isn't necessarily good, but it is very fun. It's all played in the dark, and it's really hard to find the person. That's the point. It's hard and it's exciting. Not quite so exciting was me trying to find my slippers this morning, which were beside my bed. I knew they were beside my bed, but it was dark when I woke up, and I couldn't find my slippers. I knew that if I could just turn the light on, I'd be able to find them, but Lizzie was still asleep, and that wouldn't have gone down very well. So I needed to find them in the dark, so I was scrabbling around trying to find them. And that's a little bit like what the world is presented as without the good news of Jesus shining in our lives. The light of Christ shines on us so that we can see, so that things are revealed as they really are. Through Epiphany, the celebration marks a number of things that help us remember the way that the light was revealed. The good news of God's love in Jesus was revealed. The Star of Bethlehem and the visit of the Magi, that's the big thing. But also there's Jesus' baptism. Today's a day where we remember Jesus getting baptized and the Holy Spirit coming and touching him and filling him, and it being the sign, as John the Baptist said, that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then the miraculous signs of Jesus, in particular his first miraculous sign, where he changed gallons of water into wine at a party. The way that John, in his gospel, says that was the way that he started to reveal that he was the Son of God. So epiphany means revealing, but there's another way that we use it now, isn't there? We talk about having an epiphany. It's a moment of revelation where you suddenly get it, a bit like Archimedes and his Eureka moment of sitting in the bath and it all going up and him working out what's going on and shouting, "Eureka! I get it!" An epiphany moment, a moment of realization. The truth is that the epiphany of Jesus coming into the world, the truth of his light shining in us, is meant to give us an epiphany where we see things as they really are. And then our lives become the opportunity for others to see that light too. See, the light has come. The kingdom of God is not just for those who are blood related to Abraham, but the kingdom of God is for everyone. Everyone who will respond to the light. It's demonstrated by the star shining in the brightness and the light that was prophesied by Isaiah. And Lizzie's going to come and talk to us a bit about that.
So, Isaiah 60, 1 to 6. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried out on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." I love that. And that's what God is calling us to be, that light, isn't he? That good news in the dark bits of the world. And the Message translates it like this, and I love this. "Wake up, put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to your sunburst brightness." Oh, I just think that's so, I just love that bit. But I don't know if you're like me. I love the sun. Love it. I'm one of those people that will be looking on their app, on their phone, to see if it's sunny. Today is not a sunny day. It's not a good day. I'm one of those people, I think there's a photo coming up, that a few years ago we went to Spain. I'm one of those annoying people that runs down and puts their towel down on the spot that's going to get the most sunshine. I am one of those. I'll go off for breakfast, my towel will be there ready for me to get the best bit of the sun. And that is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be that presence, to be like that. That what I feel like being in the presence of the sunshine just makes me feel great. And that's how he wants us to be, infectious for him, shining that kind of light for him, like the sunshine. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Here's another way to put it. "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world." Love that bit. "God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven." It's great. Love it. The other light that I like is candlelight. Don't know about you, but I'm one of those other annoying persons who like dimming the lights. I'm always going around dimming the lights. I like to put my candles out. When people come for a meal, I like to have the candles there. If I'm having a bath, I love to have that candle light. And why? Because it makes me feel the warmth and it makes me feel good. And I was kind of in the, well, I was in the bath, kind of in the bath. I was in the bath, fully. Anyway, don't need to know. Anyway, going to, anyway. Had all my candles out. And I was just having some time with the Lord and just found to say, Lizzie, I want you to be like that candlelight of how you're feeling in the bath, of just enjoying the presence. I want you to be like that. And I was just thinking of the opposite of candlelight. And the opposite of candlelight to me is the office. You know, that office kind of light, leaning on those big, what do you call them? Strip lights. Horrible, horrible things. Oh, there are a few like that. And it's kind of institutionalized. It's kind of abrupt. It's a bit harsh. And the Lord started challenging me and was saying, Lizzie, you can sometimes be like that. You can sometimes be that kind of brashness. I don't want you to be like that. I want you to be that candlelight. I want you to be like that sunshine that you enjoy when you're basking it on holiday. I want you to reflect that kind of light. I don't want you to be that brash office light. And Gareth and myself have a phrase that we say to each other to keep each other accountable, to be that non-anxious spiritual resource. Are we being that non-anxious spiritual resource in our homes, in the church, in the community, walking the dog, whatever it is? Because I know that I'm very prone to sometimes be that harsh office light, that not the non-anxious spiritual resource. When we were planting a church in Offerton, we didn't have a building. We had to like set it up. I remember one day being in the back cupboard and I was making a lot of noise because I was cross. There was no one helping me set up for toddler group. And Gareth came and he said, Lizzie, what are you doing? And I was just like, I'm really cross, I'm really mad. People are not helping. He's saying, how's that setting the tone? How's that being Jesus at church? This is at church. You know, great. The leaders stomping around in the back, making loads of noise. Wasn't helpful. I wasn't being that non-anxious spiritual resource. It also says, doesn't it, for us not to hide under the blanket. That's a game that I do, under the blanket. I can tell you about that another time. Underneath the bucket. It says, don't hide your light under the bucket. It's to share. It's for us to put, he says, he wants to put us on a light stand. He wants to show us off. He wants us to be generous with that light. And we can be creative, can't we? Just with a smile, with walking our dogs or playing football kids at the school gates, we can be that light for him. And I think sometimes we think we can't be that light because we might be having a difficult time. It might be a really hard time of that dark night of the soul time. I know that the Lord has challenged me and said, Lizzie, you don't need to hide. I want you to use those scars, those stories, because that's where you can be a light. You can be a light for me in that. And we all know, don't we, that it's not rocket science. The way that we can get this light is just simply spending time with him. And I just, and this is to myself, for 2017, how are we going to spend more time with him? so that we can shine brighter for him, so that we're not the office light, but that we can be that sunshine, that we can be that candlelight, we can be that non-anxious spiritual resource. We can set the tone right, whether that be in our office or at the school gates or in the school or at university. And so often we're distracted, aren't we? We can put things in place of him. I know something that's been massive in the media is about the different social platforms, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It's all great, but it can consume us, it can distract us, and actually there's loads of stuff saying it can cause depression. And as parents and as role models, we need to be role modeling how to have a healthy look and healthy lifestyle with this stuff. And a few months ago, the Lord really challenged me because I'd wake up, and instead of starting the day with him, I started the day with going on my app and having a look at what else everyone else was doing on Facebook or Instagram. And it wasn't healthy. I wasn't starting the day with him. He was saying, Lizzie, start the day with me. And I know that if we start the day, I know for myself, if I start the day with him, I am going to be so much more effective. I'm going to shine so much better for him, like the candle and the sunshine. I'm going to be infectious for him. I'm going to be able to share the good news. And, you know, if we think this is the stuff, this is the most important thing that's changed our life, we need to be shouting it from the rooftops. But I know that I need him. You know, sometimes I don't feel the most confident person to go and share, to go and shine for him. But I need him. I need him in the mornings. I need to start the day because it's by the Holy Spirit that we're going to be equipped, that's going to give us the confidence, that's going to set us free from the fears of telling people about Jesus, not bringing our stuff like I did at Glow when I was stomping around in the cupboard, but instead setting the tone, bringing him into that daily routine of our life. Gareth and myself have started the Bible in the Year. It's a brilliant app. It's a Nikki Gumbel's. If you want to try it, I'd really recommend it. I did it a few years ago. But, you know, starting the day with that. Parents, again, how are we role modeling it? My dad did a beautiful thing. He would come upstairs every morning with a cup of tea, and my Bible study would be at my side, and you would turn the light on and you'd just put the cup of tea down at my bedside table, and then he would disappear. And that was him saying, put Jesus first. And so, you know, I try very hard to have that cup of tea with Jesus in the mornings. I might not have time to do the Bible study, but my challenge for 2017 is to get up a bit earlier so I can. So I just want to say, what are you going to put in place this year to help you shine bright for him? Maybe you're fading. Maybe you're not shining at all. Maybe you don't know him. Are you a harsh light, not setting the tone right? Are you spending enough time with him so that you can be that bright light, like the candle or the sunlight? Staying in love with Jesus, like I said, it's not rocket science, but it's the fuel for our brightness. And just these next few minutes, just close your eyes. Just like to close your eyes and just put your hand on your heart and just ask the Lord, what is it, 2017? What are you saying to me? How can I shine like that sunshine for him? Be that candlelight.
On the screen is a picture of the lamp that Jesus was talking about. Not the lamp, but the kind of lamp that Jesus would have used. That has, it's just so simple. It's got a reservoir for oil. It's got a wick. and it's got the oil itself. The Holy Spirit wants to be that oil filling us so that the wick soaks up the oil and burns brightly. Because if there's no oil in there, then the wick burns out. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh, we pray. That we might shine brightly with your love. Just before we come to the communion table, a couple more things that I wanted to mention, because Lizzie's talked about us as individuals reaching out and sharing the light of God and loving him, and we need to remain in love with Jesus. That's why we gather together for worship. We gather together on a Sunday to remind ourselves of what is our fuel in life. Remind ourselves of the love God has for us. Remind ourselves that we've got the forgiveness of God because of what Jesus has done. So we do things individually, like my friend Diane, whose funeral I went to this week. She's just a couple of years older than Lizzie and I, but died suddenly just before Christmas. But the one thing everyone said about her at the funeral, where there's hundreds of people who gathered to say goodbye, were two things. She loved Jesus, and she loved other people. She loved Jesus, and she loved other people. And it made me think, I wonder if that's what people will say about me when I die. Oh, Gareth, he loved Jesus, and he loved other people. Are people going to say that about you when your time finally comes? Jesus said in Matthew 5, the NIV translation, it says, "Let them see your good deeds, and they will praise your Father in heaven." It's what we do with our time that demonstrates what we actually believe. Not what we say we believe, but what we actually believe. Do. And Lizzie's talked about us as individuals reaching out and sharing God's love. But I also want to talk about institutional mission, institutional reaching out. And institution is a word that's kind of got a bit of a bad rap, but it's just us doing it together. So, for example, individual mission to do with Alpha would be you inviting someone to come with you, or you talking to somebody about it and saying they should come. Institutional mission is us running Alpha. It's us doing the cooking, setting the chairs out, welcoming people as they come in, being table hosts. You see how this works slightly differently? There's stuff that we can do on our own, and there's stuff that we can do together. And the vision of this church is that we build on the foundation that we've inherited. I've been reading through the biography of the guy who was leading this church 100 years ago. There was a nightly, every night, boys' club, so that they connect with the people in the local community and bring them to Jesus. They used to plan missions that were 3 weeks long. And they would do that mission by gathering together to pray at the beginning of each morning at 5 a.m. Then they would go out and preach to the people coming into and out of the factories. They would go door knocking around the local area. They would run groups. This is not just the vicar, but the church. Raising people up so that the gospel was being spread. And so together, through 2017, we want to press into allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to be the fuel, so that as individuals and as an institution, for want of a better word, we're shining brightly with the love of Jesus. Because we've had an epiphany. We've had the revelation of God. And we long to see other people have that epiphany too.